I asked Walker to forgive me. I didn't write any scripture down for you, Walker. But Titus, the second chapter, we'll read verses 3-5, and then we want to, this is Mother's Day, so guess what? We talk about ladies and talk about the mothers a little bit when we, some things in life aren't fair, and there's one of them right there. She gets to hold the baby, and I have to stand up here and talk. Oh, what are you doing? Oh, okay. When you're pastors of the church, you can do what you want with the service. Anyway. Isn't she cute? There's only maybe five others that even equal her. Even come close. Yeah. They're all mine. Yeah. You knew that's coming. Hey, glad you're here today. We like to have a little fun sometime. But Titus, the second chapter and the third verse, before we get to a brawl out here over grandchildren, okay? I'm just kidding around, guys. You think the same thing about yours, don't you? Got the most beautiful grandchildren in the world. And there's nothing wrong with that, and I would agree with you. They're all beautiful, every one of them. Titus, the second chapter, the third verse, it says this, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Today we're once again celebrating Mother's Day and giving honor to those who have been privileged to bear children. And in doing so, though, we don't wish to, and we do this sometimes, to diminish the role of mothers, of ladies who have never had the privilege or chose to have children. We don't want to diminish your role either. You may never bear a child, but you're still important. I want you to understand this. So while motherhood is a high call and important to each of us, after all, none of us would be here without mothers. None of us. It's not the highest calling of life. And oftentimes preachers, especially on Mother's Day, as we're grappling for something good to say, and we get all syrupy and say how motherhood's the greatest gift and how it's the highest calling. Really, it's not. Really, it's not. The highest calling in life is to be all that God has called you to be. Motherhood rates high. Don't get me wrong. I'm not diminishing the importance of being a mother, but it's a part of, you know, it's, you need to embrace whatever season of life you find yourself in. While mother, you know, it is a high call and it's important, you need to embrace the season of life you're in and live that season to its fullest. If motherhood is a part of that, well, live it well. If it's an empty nest, embrace it. Yeah, embrace that. If it's life without children, walk tall. Never let the number of dependents you have or don't have be the defining factor in your life. And we in these Mother's Day services sometimes, that's how it feels, I think, to ladies who've never bore children or may have tried to and never have had the, never been able to. We have a friend that goes to Tecumseh Church and her name's Sheila. And Sheila is now, she's 60 years old. And all ever since I've known her, ever since she first started going to that church 40 years ago, she's wanted to be a mother. And she's never been able to. But she has mothered hundreds of children through the nursery. She's become confident to a number of teenagers. She's been a mother, but she never bore a child. But she finally just embraced. I remember praying for her. We'd bring her, she'd come up, I want to have a child. And the church would gather around her and pray for her. Just, I mean, the effectual, fervent prayer. But she'd never conceive. But she's been a mother, although she never bore a child. So we need to not diminish that role that people have in their life. Even if you are in the throes of raising a child today, understand your call to motherhood is no greater importance than your call to be a wife. It's not a higher pursuit than the need to be yourself. It doesn't fully trump every other role in your life. It's an important part of who you are, but it's not everything. Remember that. We're going to talk about Mary in just a minute. We need to thank moms more than we do. I understand that. We need to help them more than we have. And we need to value them in every way possible, but we don't need to lie to them. Motherhood is an important calling, but it's not the highest calling. The highest calling is to be everything God intended for you to be, whatever that is. This might be a school teacher, might be a clerk at a store. Whatever God's called you to be the best you can be at that. Whatever it is. Whatever it is, do that. Titus today, we read this scripture, and it's talked about older women being good teachers to the younger ladies and models for them in holiness or reverence, not to become false accusers or slanderers of others, something we all should learn, not given to much wine, not becoming a drunkard, a teacher of good things, being sober. That would be the cultivation of sound judgment and prudence. Also, the word could mean sound, being of sober mind, temperate, free from intoxicants, and have a sound mind. And just be discreet, it said. In other words, have self-control. And then chaste, being pure, free from a mixture of evil and not to be carnal. We're going to talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus, this morning for just a few minutes, who was, and she wasn't perfect, nor was she sinless. But she was a good example of sound parenting for moms and dads alike. And let's consider her for just a few moments this morning. First off, let's look at Mary's character. In Luke, the first chapter, you'll see a picture of that, Luke, the first chapter, yes, the 26th to the 28th verse. And it says this, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, and of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, thou hast found favor with God. And so we'll stop right there. She had found favor and was favored with God. Mary had been found to have good character. God had looked the area over. God had considered many different people. And he looked down and saw Mary and saw that she was a lady that was highly favored of God, and she was full of grace. I believe, although salvation hadn't come through Jesus yet, she was a saved lady. She was a saved lady. She knew how to live for God. And she was doing everything she could to be right with God. She was following all the ordinances of the day, doing everything she was supposed to do to be godly. And God saw that and honored that allowing her to be the mother of his only son. It was never indicated in Scripture, however, that she was to be worshipped. She was not to be prayed to or given special titles. She's Mother the Mary of Jesus. She's not our Savior. She just carried the Savior. But God saw her as someone who had favor with God. She had favor. Now, wouldn't that be all of your goal, everyone's goal today, is to have favor with God? I want to have favor with God, and sometimes I wonder why God even saw anything in me. I wonder why he even chose to save me. I'm pretty, you know, when you look back at your life and things you've done, it's like, why in the world would God want someone like me? But God looked at Mary and she was highly favored. Now her blessing brought her joy. It brought her some happiness, but it also brought her a lot of sorrow. She had a lot of trouble being the mother of this person, of this child, this mother, Mary. She would see her son rejected and crucified. Now, I know as mothers today, you guys stand behind your kids, don't you? 100%. Even when they're being ornery, you stand behind them. Even if they speak to throw them in the penitentiary, you would stand behind them. Come on now, you may not condone what they did. You may recognize what they did was sinful and not right, but you will still do your best to encourage and stand behind your child. Well, Mary was that type of mother. Although her son was falsely accused, she understood that she was a mother first, and she was going to protect her child the best she could and stand with him in every challenge he had. And that's just like a mother. My mom was like that. Your mom was like that, Sister Christina. My wife's mom was like that. Stand behind you no matter what the challenge. Stand with you. Back you up. Encourage you. Sometimes even when you're wrong, they still say, it's all right. I guess it's because they didn't want to say, you're all wrong. They'll say, it's all right. Now, they didn't mean that it was that what you did was okay, but it just meant it's going to be all right. You done made it, you know what I'm saying. So God's calling will always involve disappointments as well as blessing, sufferings as well as joy and sadness, successes and disappointments. No matter what you get involved in, there's going to be those things in your life. But we need to stand by and be a person full of grace, a person that God can depend on. And God knew he could depend on Mary. She had good character. Secondly, she had courage. In verses 30 through 32, it says, and the angel said, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now this, if you get to study this out, this lady was young. She had just been engaged. She may have been 15, 16 years old at this time. And God comes to her and says, you're going to get pregnant. Now in that day, and I wish it was still that way, it wasn't something to be happy about to get pregnant before you were married. They didn't throw baby showers. They didn't announce it to the world. They hid out in shame. Fact is, being pregnant after she could have been stoned to death under their laws. She could have been put to death for becoming pregnant out of wedlock. But God said she was highly favored. So she had to have great courage. Think about it. Think about the stigma that was attached to this young lady's life at 16 years old, maybe. Think about that. The shame. But she stood tall. She knew that she would be falsely accused of immorality, but yet she knew that she had heard from God. So she stood pat. Now, my husband, Joseph, that she had been engaged to, they'd already made a declaration that they'd be married at a specific time. As soon as everything, you know, how they went through a process, a little different than ours. God had to speak to him to keep him from putting her away. But the Bible said he was going to do it privately. He was not going to make a spectacle of it. He was heartbroken. He was angry. I can guarantee you he was mad. Wouldn't you been, sir? The woman you was going to get married, you felt had already been with a man before you married her, after you had been engaged to her, you'd have got angry too. And you'd wanted to do something. But he thought on it and was going to put her away privately. And God spoke to him through an angel, through a dream. God spoke to him, and he didn't do what he said. But this lady had courage. Say, okay, Lord, whatever it is. She said in verse 38, she said, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed. She said, okay, whatever it is, I'll take it. Whatever happens, it's just the way it's going to be. Go ahead. I'm ready. Can you imagine that, being 16 years old and say, okay, I'll bear this burden. That took courage. In that culture, in that day, that took courage. It took courage. And then she contemplated it. In Luke 2:19, it talks about, let me get there, the right scripture. In chapter 2, verse 19, the Bible says that, but Mary, this is after the angels had came and the shepherds had came and after Jesus was born, and she heard all these wonderful things that was told her by the shepherds. And the Bible says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She thought on those things. She contemplated what God had told her and all these things that were promised to her. Can you imagine the gauntlet of emotions that this young lady was having? Even after she had this child, 9 months later, after being told she's going to have this child out of wedlock, the Holy Spirit of God was going to hover over her. She was going to be impregnated by God in that sense. Can you imagine all the thoughts and the emotions that had to run through her mind? All the scenarios that she had run through her mind of what might happen to her and how she was going to raise, because this was new ground, guys. She wasn't just a normal baby. She was going to raise the Son of God. Can you imagine, was he going to know more than I know? Is he going to be able to talk as soon as he gets here? I mean, come on. I don't know what she would have been thinking, but she contemplated all these different things. She meditated on what was said about her son. She attempted to understand it. And understanding is something all our children need. Now, and can I say from my viewpoint, and from my kids' probably viewpoint of me, their mom's a lot more understanding than their dad was or is. She'll contemplate things where I'll jump to conclusions. She'll think about what she's going to say when I'll just say something. And usually the wrong thing. Usually if they do something, I'll knock your head off. I brought you into this world, I'll take you out. Y'all ever heard that one? Yeah, y'all, I know Mickey's family has. I react instead of think sometimes, but moms contemplate and they meditate and they think about what they're going to say. Only time I seen my wife ever get really mad at one of our children was when Denny called us one night at 10 o'clock. I'm glad you're here today, son, so I can talk about you. Called us at 10. He's supposed to be at home from a date at 10 o'clock. He called us at 10 o'clock from Love's in Tecumseh and said, Dad, and he's crying almost. Okay, he wasn't crying, but he was going to before the night was over. It's my story. Anyway, he had got caught down at the Macomb Y by a highway patrolman going almost 100 miles an hour. He was trying to get home by his 10 o'clock get home time. He's 16. And he's supposed to be home at 10 o'clock. It's 10 o'clock. He was going to be late. Well, he's certainly late now. So he got pulled over and he calls us. I just stepped back and let my wife handle this one. Because I was more lenient with, because I remember the times I drove 100 miles an hour when I shouldn't have been. You know, it's just boys being boy. I mean, we do that stuff, you know. Silly, but we do it. She's mad at him for over 2 weeks. Serious. Now, I'm not kidding. Every time she'd think about it, she'd chew me out over it. Then he'd get home from school, she'd chew him out again. Can't believe you did that. You could have killed yourself. And he could have. moms usually contemplate things. Dad react and, you know, chase them with a stick, stuff like that. But Mary contemplated. Ladies, we need to understand you have great influence over your children. A lot more influence than what you think sometime. You influence. Some of you ladies are here, you come to church without your husbands. You certainly have a spiritual influence that your husband doesn't have over those children. And it's important to train your children up in the ways of the Lord. Very important. But Mary contemplated all those things and pondered them in her heart and kept them all in her heart. And she understood about Jesus. But she had confidence. She had confidence also. Look at John, the second chapter. And I don't know if I'll read it all, but John, the second chapter, at the marriage in Cana. While they were there, they run out of the wine, and Mary came to Jesus, and he just started his ministry. He was in his first few days of his ministry, and Mary came to him and said, they've run out of wine. He said, that's not my problem. Why are you bothering me, you know, before my time? Oh, but you can do it. She looked to the servants and she told them, you do whatever he says to do, do it. She had confidence in her son, confidence in whom he had become, and she told them, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Oftentimes, mothers have confidence in their children. And they'll ask them to do things and expect it to be done because they believe in that child. They believe that child can do anything. I mean, you know, mothers believe your kids can do anything when other people might say you can't. And we was at a National Honor Society induction the other day, and we heard, you know, people, the assistant superintendent Tecumseh told everybody that was there that when she was a teenager, her parents set her down and told her, we don't expect you to go to college. What they were saying, we realize that you are a big mess up, that you will never make it. That's how she took it. They was telling her, you'll never make it. She's assistant superintendent at Tecumseh Schools now. She went to college. She earned her degree, more than one degree. She moved up the ladder. She became something. But that was her wake-up moment. Her parents didn't have any confidence in that she would ever accomplish anything in their minds. She said she was the little sister of the big brother who was the one that make a 30 on an ACT test. And they didn't expect her to ever amount to anything, but she did. May I suggest to you that you need to show your kids you have confidence in them? Your grandchildren, that you have confidence in them. They may not be the smartest person in the world, or you might look at, so my child's not the sharpest crayon in that box. But they're your child. And they need to know that mama and daddies believe in them. And that you're going to back them. Whatever course of action, not whatever course of action, but you understand, whatever vocation they would choose, whatever course of action in life they choose to go, what direction they choose to go. I'm not talking about getting to the life of crime and going out into drugs and all that kind. I'm talking about things that you do that's right. You should back them in it. Have confidence in them. Mary had confidence in her son, in his abilities, and his calling. We need to have confidence. And then she was committed. Mary was totally committed. In John, the 19th chapter, in the 25th verse, you'll see where Jesus was being crucified. And guess who was there? Mary, his mother, Mary, his aunt, and Mary Magdalene. Those three Marys were there. But his mom was at the cross. She was committed to him right up until the end. She believed in him. She had confidence that what he was doing was of God. She knew it was. She had heard from God. She knew what God said about her son. and she had confidence that he would complete what he had started, and she was committed to him to the very end. And I think that's a trait that every child would like to have. A parent that's committed to them and loves them regardless. Regardless. Some of you have had children that's went astray, done some things they hadn't ought to do. But I believe most of you are still committed to them. Committed to their best interest. Do whatever you can to help them. Sometimes we help to the point of, what's that word I'm looking for? We empower them to keep doing. We don't show enough tough love. And we let them keep doing. We enable them. Sometimes you need to be tough. But that's still commitment. We need to be committed. Mary had character. And I believe you ladies here today have high character, full of grace and highly favored of God. She had courage. She pondered and thought things out. She had confidence in her son and in her Savior, in her God. And she was committed. And we should be committed today also to our God, to our families. We should. It's the best way to be, ladies and gentlemen. It's the best way to be. First and foremost, be committed to God. The Bible teaches us to acknowledge Him in all of our ways. And when we do it, the Bible says He'll direct our paths. The Word is a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet. Let's be committed to God, first and foremost. You're highly favored, ladies, highly favored. And we bless you today. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for another Mother's Day. I thank you today, Lord, for all these ladies who have chosen motherhood. I thank you for the ladies, Lord, that even maybe they have not been able to bear children or chose not to, that they've still been an influence in a child's life. I thank you, God, that you have been a blessing to them, that you've watched over them, that you've kept your hand upon them. Help us all, Lord, to be good examples of men and women who serve God and are committed to your cause. Bless now today, Lord, these ladies. Keep them, watch over them, help their children to grow and flourish and prosper, and help their lives, Lord, be full of joy as they serve you, as they seek you, as they do your will. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. I hope you were blessed. You have blessed us tremendously.